who has, like, I guess I've known you for about a decade or so when we came here as young undergrads, and have been doing ministry together really with The Well about since and for that decade. Yep. So Nate, if you don't know, was faithfully leading this Christ-centered kingdom movement for the last 5 years or so until the Lord recently called him right down the road at Park Street Community Church, where he now serves as pastor. We're super happy to have you back tonight.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Can I get a... I'm gone for a semester and a half, and ain't got no stands around this place. No, I'm just kidding. Hi, everybody. How are you? I'm so really glad to be back, like super glad. Is my mic, can you turn my mic up? I like to let the mic do the work. I'm a beautiful baritone, but when I can help it. Hey, it's good to see you. I'm really honestly just stoked out of my mind to be back here. I've been missing you guys like fierce, and I'm just joyed to get to share a little bit. You guys are going through a series talking about how God is revealed. We've been talking about how God is revealed, at least the last week I was here, through Jesus, and tonight I get to talk a little bit about how God reveals himself through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mallory mentioned that I'm in a different stage now. I'm a pastor. Let me tell you, you need to be aware of this, because this is probably true of you in some time in the near future. Your life can change quickly, okay? Like 2 years ago, I was doing this every Thursday night. I was like, had like the college life, you know, and in 2 years, like less than 2 years, I've had two babies. I'm now a pastor. I'm riding a minivan. People, like, I am like, I was yawning during the first set, not because the worship wasn't amazing, it was, but because my bedtime is legit 8 p.m. in this stage of my life. And so, normally, you guys, 8 p.m., like, you're coming awake from your third nap of the day. I don't know what you guys are doing. And, like, you're going out and you're having fun. I'm begging my daughter to put clothes on to go to bed. I have an almost two-year-old named Rosie, and her favorite absolute thing in the world is streaking. absolute favorite, and she does get that from her mother, if you're wondering. But she'll, like, have bath time, and, like, we towel her off, and then she's like, can I run? And I'm like, just do it. And so I, like, take the towel off her, and she literally does laps up and down the upstairs just screaming this phrase, she naked! She just says she naked because she hasn't learned to speak in the first person yet. And she just loves it. And so that's what I'm doing normally Thursday nights when you guys are like worshiping the Lord. I'm just trying to put some clothes on a two-year-old. And then I have another child. We had two in like 13 months, which is, yeah. And my youngest son, his name's Whitaker. He's 10 months old. And he has, since his first day alive, he just grunts to all of his communication is like through like Tim the Toolman Taylor, just like total grunting. The very first time he did it, he was 1 day old, and I changed his diaper, and I got a wipe, like to wipe his bottom, and it was cold, and he went, mm! And I was like, and from that day until now, he communicates solely in growls and grunts as if he were a wolf like his father. So here's, like, your life can change. And I knew when I got married there would be nudity and grunting. I just didn't know it was going to be like this, right? Come on. This is why I miss you people. I don't say stuff like that over there. Okay. One thing leads to another. So here's the deal. I'm so excited to be here because your life might not change like my life, but your life is going to change, right? Like, you're aware of this. Some of you, maybe like next semester, it's going to radically change. Some of you, maybe you've got a few more semesters, but change is coming. And here's the good news of this series that you've been talking about. The God of the universe that is revealed in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit never changes, right? In and out of season, they are good, they are constant, they are present. And so as your life changes and as you go through transitions and as you, like, all of a sudden you're in charge of two tiny humans and you don't even know how this happened, know that God is the same today and yesterday and tomorrow. I want to talk about my favorite four stories about the person of the Holy Spirit. It's been awesome because we've been in a series at Park Street about the Holy Spirit, and we've been, like, this is our last week, next week, and we've been at 7 weeks, and I'm going to talk about none of that tonight because some of you come, and also if you're really curious, you can listen online, except for the one sermon I had to take down because I talked about a friend of mine in high school having sex, and his mom listens to my sermon sometimes. But other than that one, you can listen to them online if you're curious. Here are my three favorite stories from the scripture. So it's going to be on the screen behind me, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me too. My first favorite story about the Holy Spirit is from Genesis 1, chapter 1, the very first. I mean, if you don't know anything about the Bible, I bet you can find this one. It's the very first verse in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the scriptures say. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you want to know how many verses into the Bible we get before Holy Spirit shows up, it's two, right? And here's the deal. This is how what we know about planets forming. This is how planets are made. It's a process called accretion. And so what basically happens is a star burns itself out and explodes into a supernova. And that explosion of a star throws out materials into outer space. And some of these materials start collecting into one another. They start forming into clumps. And sometimes those clumps smush into each other. And they keep smushing each other. Their gravity draws them into one another until a planet is formed. Right? In our solar system, there's eight, and then Pluto, we don't talk about him anymore, right? So in the beginning, when all of that stuff was smushing together, it's very violent, and it's very, like, dangerous, like no life can be there, right? Like the Earth's surface was like thousands and thousands of degrees. The like heavier materials sink to the bottom. Our Earth's core is made out of heavy, dense metals, and the other levels are made of lighter stuff. All of the gases escape into our biosphere, right? One of the gases that was coming up early on a lot in the Earth's early formation, we know, is sulfur, right? And so imagine this, right? Like billions of years ago or whenever, like the Earth is being formed. It's like magma and explosions, and it smells like farts and rotten eggs, like sulfur everywhere. It's completely uninhabitable. The Hebrew word for this is tohu wabohu. It means formless and void. It means chaos, right? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up. And the Spirit of God brings order out of chaos. So if you want to know how the Holy Spirit perfectly reveals God, one of the first things you need to know is that the God revealed in the Holy Spirit is a God that pulls order out of chaos. The Holy Spirit, like, was hovering over the waters. I lost my word for a second. Hovering over the waters like a dove. Hovering over creation. And then calling out land and sea and sky. And calling out order and control where there was chaos, right? And so I shared that my life still has chaos in it. And I remember, you know, college life, and there's chaos in your life, isn't there? Like, there just is. You're rushing to classes. You're trying to make relationships work. You're trying to, like, live autonomously but also stay connected to parents. You're trying to, like, get a degree and hope that it, like, pays you money someday. Like, all of the things that's going on in your life, it can be tohu wabohu. It can be chaos, right? Here's the good news for all of you who are following the way of Jesus Christ. In the midst of your chaos, the Holy Spirit longs to bring order, right? The Holy Spirit longs to hover over you and to call out the things that need to be and to do away with the things that don't. That's the first story, Genesis 1. My second favorite story about the Holy Spirit is all the way fast forward in the New Testament, so Acts chapter 2. This is the story of Pentecost, right? It's like the Holy Spirit shows up for the first time in a big way. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Jesus has been killed. He's been miraculously raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And before he leaves, he tells the disciples, do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes, right? He's been with these guys 3 years. He knows that on their own, they're certainly going to screw something up. He says, do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes. So they get together and pray, and then this is what happens. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem. They were also God-fearing Jews from every other nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they said, aren't these the ones who are speaking, aren't these Galileans, right? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, all these places. I'm not going to say them all because some of them are hard to pronounce, okay? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? But like every place, there's always the naysayers and the haters. And some, however, made fun of them and said, they just had too much wine. And that happens. So one of the fun things about having, like, tiny humans is you get to go to themed birthday parties again. Adults aren't doing that enough. For my taste, thank you very much. And so you get to go to themed birthday parties again for the little ones. And we went to one that had a Spanish magician. Why not? And he was like, I'm going to make this rabbit disappear on the count of three. And he said, one, two, and it was gone without a trace. Come on, people. All right. I love myself, even if you don't love me. Here's what you need to understand about Acts chapter 2. There's this amazing passage from Genesis chapter 11 that explains all the different languages in the earth and how they came to be about. In that chapter in Genesis 11, maybe you've heard this story, it's called the Tower of Babel. And basically what happened was all of the humans who were made in God's image got together and they said, we don't need God. Like, we can make this amazing tower that would reach to the heavens, something that they wanted to build to basically demonstrate their independence from God. And God was like, let me show you something. And he caused them all to start speaking different languages, and they were confused, and they couldn't understand each other anymore. This passage in Acts chapter 2 is this amazing providential reversal of that story that happens in Genesis chapter 11. And the thing that caused division was human pride and human attempt to lift ourselves up to become equal with God. But instead, in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descends, all of a sudden, that thing is reversed because people are humbling themselves and seeking God and seeking His face. And all of a sudden, even people from different parts of the world can now understand one another clearly as if they were speaking their very language. So if the first thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit is that He brings order out of chaos, the next thing you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is His desire is to bring clarity out of confusion, right? That's what He's about, right? Like, so have you ever been, like, really frustrated and confused in a relationship, confused with where you're going? I see Cameron Russell back there. I know he's confused always, right? He doesn't even know where he's here. I thought you weren't coming tonight. Oh, you're not missing something? Okay, good. Sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I don't remember to put pants on in the morning. That's not true. But, like, the Spirit of God is a spirit of clarity, right? So if there's relationships in which you feel like, man, we're just not getting each other. We always miss each other. What's going on? I would invite you to start praying for the Holy Spirit to bring clarity out of confusion, because that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does best. We need clarity in our lives, and the Holy Spirit gives it.
and abundance. That's my second favorite story. Third favorite story, Matthew chapter 3. So we're going backwards a little bit in the New Testament, the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. This is the story of Jesus' baptism through the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus said, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Some of you might know this because I talk about it sometimes. But when we have our children, when we had our children, we're not currently still having them, my wife chose, and I supported this decision because I'm awesome, to have our children at home. So we had home births. And the reason is my wife doesn't like needles. So if that makes no sense to you, thank you. I don't like needles, so I'm going to have this really complicated thing just in our living room. Okay, honey, I'll inflate the pool. And so that's what we did. So I was like an eyewitness to my both of my children being born. It's awesome. I feel like some guys are like, oh, it's gross, and it is. But it's like, it's awesome. It was beautiful. If we have more babies, I hope we get to do it that way. And here's the thing. When my daughter, we don't find out what the gender is of our children either, right? And so when Rosie was born, I was like, sure. I was telling everybody I was having a boy. We had the name Whitaker picked out. We like loved that name. We thought we were like the coolest people in the world to think of some old-timey name. And like, she came out, and like, she was kind of like modest when she came out. And I was like, let me see. And now she's like, oh, look at me. How it changed in 2 years. But, you know, and she was a girl, and it wasn't like I was sad or anything. It was like, oh, she's a girl. I thought she was a boy, and she wasn't. When Whitaker was born, when my son was born, I have no idea. Like, as soon as he came out, I saw his teener. It was like immediate. I wasn't like looking for that right away, but that's the first thing I saw. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, babe, it's Whitaker, you know? Like, we didn't know it was him, but it was him, you know? And Mallory will attest to this. When I want someone to see something, I have, like, no patience. Like, when I want to show something, I'm like, are you in the middle of a conversation? Oh, okay, let me tell you, like, this thing. And so my wife just got done pushing a human out of her, and I was like, babe, you're not paying attention. Look. We have a son. And she's like, I'm in pain. Like, give me a minute. But it was Whitaker. Like, and like we love him, and we didn't know it was him, right? For 9 months, we didn't know. But then he showed up, and it was like, it's him, right? And this is what happens with Jesus. Like, Jesus comes out of complete obscurity. He like shows up on the scene. And John the Baptist, he's his cousin. He knows what's going on. He's like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. But Jesus is like, no, we got to do this. Jesus comes up from the water and the heavens part. And the Lord says, this is my son. And so among other things, among the idea that the Holy Spirit brings order out of chaos, among the idea that the Holy Spirit brings clarity out of confusion, the other thing that the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit claims identity and gives you one out of obscurity, right? Like, as soon as I saw my son, I claimed him. And my midwife, who we love, like, she told me, as soon as I saw him, my face lit up, and I was like, ah. You know, I was just like such a proud dad. And this is the exact way that the Father feels of those of us who are born again in Christ Jesus, right? Your identity, boom, the Holy Spirit claims you, names you child, son, daughter of God. It can't be taken away by anything in the world. The Holy Spirit brings order out of chaos. The Holy Spirit brings clarity out of confusion. The Holy Spirit brings identity out of obscurity. And finally, my last story, John chapter 20. I love this story. Verses 19 through 23. On that evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, right? Jesus has been crucified. They haven't experienced his resurrection yet. And all of a sudden, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." When my wife was pregnant with Whitaker, she took Rosie, who was like 3 or 4 months at the time, to her parents' house for a day. And she was driving back home that evening, and she was on the intersection of Claremont and Mifflin, like crossing that, and somebody ran a red light and T-boned them, right? And so Leah calls me. I'm at home. I have no pants on. I'm picking my nose, right? Like, I'm like, wife and kid are away. I'm just going to, like, chill out, right? And my wife calls me. She's like, "Baby, we were in an accident. Somebody hit us on Claremont and Mifflin." And I was like, "Where's Mifflin again?" And she had to explain it to me, you know, because I'm not good with names of roads. And I, like I said, like, I was, like, not dressed or teeth brushed or anything. And I beat the ambulance to the scene, right? Like, I got something on. I got in my car. The ambulance was coming up Claremont. I went up Broad Street and prayed a lot while driving incredibly fast. Like, I pulled in off the road, and I just walked into the middle of the intersection. Like, try to stop me from getting to my family, right? Like, a police officer was like, "Hey, sir." I'm like, "Where's my kid?" He was like, "Oh, sorry." No, he didn't do it. And I saw my wife, and I saw my daughter, and, like, everybody was okay, and we were so grateful. But this is what's happening with the disciples. They're, like, completely scared. They're completely locked in. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps into the room, the resurrected Christ. He breathes the Holy Spirit onto them. And previously, they were passive. But all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit's now in, they have an absolute passion that nothing will stop them from the mission they've been now given, right? Like, they went from Nate, no pants on in his house, to, like, "Try and stop me getting to my kid. Try and stop me getting to my wife. Like, you are not going to prevent me from the mission that I now have. I have this absolute passion." So here are the four things the Holy Spirit does. This is what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, is the character and the nature of God. The first thing is, he brings order out of chaos. The second thing is, he brings clarity out of confusion. The third thing is, he brings identity out of obscurity. And the last thing he does is, he brings passion out of passivity, right? The fun thing about all of these images is that they're all kind of, like, connected to wind imagery, right? If, like, you were paying attention in all four of those passages. Yesterday, I drove to Mansfield. I needed Panera. That's what I was doing. And so I was driving, and I was, like, driving on 30, and my car was, like sliding on the road a little bit. And I was like, "This is weird." And I pulled in, and I looked up, and these three things happened, like, in total sequence. I feel like the Lord was speaking to me. But, like, I looked up, and I was like, "Those clouds are moving really fast." And then I looked, and I saw, like, a sign that was, like, waving. And then on the radio it said, "There will be gusts of wind up to 50 miles an hour in northeastern Ohio." And I was like, "Oh, my life makes sense." You know, like, that's why my car was doing the thing. It's because it's windy out. I don't know that when the Holy Spirit blows and moves, that we always get that clear of a warning, right? Like, the Holy Spirit that, like, hovered over the waters of creation and blew gently and brought order out of chaos, the Holy Spirit that descended in Pentecost and blew and ignited a movement of God, the Holy Spirit that was present at the baptism of Jesus and marked him as the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit that was present upon the resurrection of Christ that filled the disciples with passion and purpose after they thought they had none anymore. That Holy Spirit doesn't come with, like, radios, like, warnings. Like, there's no Wednesday test, you know, of an alarm system for you to know. But here's the deal. the Holy Spirit is real and he's moving, right? And the Holy Spirit is moving on this campus. Do you think so? Like, I've seen it, and I haven't even been around, you know, that the Holy Spirit is moving. And I would just encourage all of you to step into those moments, right? And to position yourself to experience that renewal, that wind, that energy that you can't see, but you can feel the power of all around you, and that the Holy Spirit would come. Like, I know that there are people in this room whose lives are currently marked by chaos and confusion, right? And obscurity and passivity. And I'm begging you to position yourself for the Holy Spirit to blow on you, right? To like fill you up, to come in power and to radically change your life. Because that's what he does. Like, that's what he's in the business of doing. He's constantly making you new and powerful and whole again. I'm going to invite the band up. And I think we're doing some, like, prayer time. And Sadie asked me, she texted me, like, yesterday, I think. That's her right there. In case you're confused. And she was like, hey, what's the experiential on Thursday? And I said, I want to blow on people's faces. And she was like, ha, ha, I'm not really going to do that. But wouldn't that be funny? But what we will do, and what I would, like, love to see you engage in, right, is we're going to have some leaders up front. And we're just going to pray Holy Spirit power over you tonight, right? Like, we're going to pray, like, clarity over your life and order over your life and identity over your life and passion over your life in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit, who makes those things real because he's part of the Godhead. So that's what we're going to do. They're going to play pretty songs. We're going to worship. I would really encourage you not to miss this moment, right? Like, I believe that in addition to doing all these other things, that sometimes the Holy Spirit, orchestrates bringing people to hear a timely message. And so maybe this is for you, right? Like, maybe tonight was for you, and you need to step into it and receive this new life, this new order, this new passion, this new purpose, this new identity that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus.